Next Saturday, the annual Family Day conference is going to be held in Culibacky. And the theme that has been chosen for that conference is an interesting and intriguing one. How to keep our children interested in the church in the 21st century. Interesting, intriguing, and a little disconcerting. You see, behind the title, there is a frightening thought. And the thought is that children may lose interest in the church. And they may conclude, this isn't for me. And that's why the title is so solemn. You see, they would not be like people who have never heard the gospel. They have heard it. They would not be like people who've never been to church. They have. They've been among a company of God's people where there is love and fellowship. And the very thought that children growing up in church could lose interest should break our hearts. This is more than just drifting away. Because to lose interest really means to turn your back on, to abandon, to decide against, to reject the very thing, the very place where the Lord, as we have just been singing, bestows his blessing. But children are important in the church. Let's be sure of that. And this morning we want to think about that in the familiar verses of Mark chapter 10, 13 to 16. Now the other gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, also have this parallel passage. What do we learn then about children in the church? First of all, that children should be brought. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. And Matthew adds, and pray for them. Each of the writers simply says that people were bringing children to Jesus. There may have been grandparents, or there may have been a sister or a brother, but isn't it most likely that those bringing the children were primarily their parents? And interestingly, the pronoun used here is masculine. Male and female people were bringing the children. Mothers and fathers were bringing the children. The fathers weren't saying, well, I leave all of that religious training of the children to their mother. She gets them ready for church. She helps them with their Sabbath school lessons. She's better at that. The fathers took responsibility for their children seriously. And it's interesting, isn't it, that in the field of education today, there's a growing awareness that it's vital for male teachers to be in schools, even in the schools of youngest children. Fathers have a clear biblical responsibility. And those bringing the children were genuinely concerned for their spiritual well-being. They weren't being superstitious. They weren't thinking that if Jesus touched the children, then some sort of heavenly power would be transferred to these little ones. Jesus could see their hearts, and he knew that their motives were good and right. He is pleased that the children are being brought. Now, it's difficult to know here the age range. Luke, in his account, uses a word that's used of very young children, of babes in arms. It's the word that Peter uses when he says, like newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word. In the way a newborn baby thrives on milk, you must thrive on the word. That's the term for babe which he uses. Matthew and Mark use a different word, but it also means a young child, maybe a child a little bit older than that and perhaps able to walk. But certainly the children being brought were, most of them, small enough certainly to be carried or lifted up in arms. Sometimes people get very misty-eyed when they see babes in arms or in the pram. They look so appealing. Innocent, people think. But those bringing their children to Jesus were not like that. They weren't being sentimental. They loved their children, but they knew that there was one thing the children needed. They were in need of the blessing of the Lord, the grace which only He could give. It's clear that the parents bringing their children themselves had faith in the Lord. They were looking to Him in faith to bestow His blessing on the children. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have Him touch them. And Matthew says, as I mentioned, to pray for them. The touch in the Old Testament was seen as an indication of blessing being bestowed, like Jacob took Joseph's two boys, you remember, and put his hands on them to bless them, to bring down the blessing of heaven upon them. That's the significance and importance here. The people are seeking the Lord's blessing, His grace, to come down on their children. What encouraged them to bring their children? Well, mustn't they have known that they would be welcomed by the Lord? That He would be pleased to receive and to bless these children? Interesting, just a little bit before this, in the previous chapter, Jesus was answering a question which His disciples asked about greatness in the kingdom. And He answered their question not just verbally, but visually. He took a little child, He called a little child to Him, and He said, whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord loved and delighted in the children, and this little child had no hesitation in coming there to Him. So what they knew of the Lord's heart for children encouraged these parents to bring their children. And that encourages us this morning. Children should be brought. Bring them in prayer to the Lord. Bring the children you know, the children in your family, in your congregation, in prayer, the children in your street perhaps. Bring them in prayer. Bring them to church, that they will hear the gospel. Bring them by living before them in a way that will commend the Lord to them. The children should be brought. Secondly, the children must not be hindered. The disciples rebuked them. Those who were bringing the children were told by the disciples not to do that. The disciples stood in the way as a kind of barrier, hindering these children from coming to the Savior to receive His blessing. It seems, you notice in verse 10, that Jesus and His disciples were in a house. And the disciples, they were in the house. Were they standing at the door, blocking the entrance and turning people with children away? Like a doorman at the entrance to some expensive restaurant, when someone appears with jeans and a t-shirt, and the doorman says, "You can't come in to this restaurant dressed like that." And the disciples said, "You can't come in with children." You see, the disciples were actually thinking just as the culture of the day thought. It didn't set much value on children. They were of little worth. There's some awful accounts of that, of Roman society. The disciples did not want to be bothered with these children in the house. They did not want the Lord to be distracted from what they saw as his main task of addressing adults. So they may have been in line with the culture, but they were out of line with the Lord. And when Jesus saw what they were doing, he was, says Mark, indignant. It causes indignation in his heart when he sees hindrances put in the way of children coming to him. And so the disciples were rebuked by the Lord. Rebuked by the Lord. He rebuked them. Don't we need to learn from that? Do we need to learn from that the seriousness of hindering children? We may not do it in the way the disciples did, but are there ways in which we might hinder children coming to the Lord? Blocking their way to the blessing of the Savior. Could that be done by saying, "Well, it's time enough when they're older to learn about the Bible and about spiritual things. Time enough later on to let them make up their own minds about church. I was brought along to Sabbath school, to meetings, to listen to sermons, but I'm not going to do that with my children." We don't leave children to make up their own minds about the best way to cross the road or whether it's wise to play with matches. But more subtle ways too, perhaps, we could be a hindrance. The way we talk about church when we're in our family. Isn't it quite easy for all of us to slip into those little criticisms, perhaps? What does that do for the children? What do they learn about church if they hear that? Or if we're less than committed, what does that say to the children? Church is important, but or perhaps we can be a hindrance by being critical of children, being upset by a mark on the floor or on the wall. Our Lord rebuked the disciples. They obviously thought that church is just for older people. They obviously thought that the Lord should not be asked to spend valuable time dealing with children. But by hindering those bringing the children to Jesus, as Sinclair Ferguson puts it, the disciples were misinterpreting the character of God and the nature of his grace. They were suggesting that there was no interest in heaven in little children. But grace is for children too. Grace is for children too. The children should be brought. The children must not be hindered. Thirdly, let's notice the children are blessed. How are children to be treated? It's a big question. It's one that exercises many, many people today. We have actually in our province appointed someone who is called a commissioner for children, which may or may not be an important position. But it's disturbing, isn't it, that there is a degree of confusion, at least, about how children are to be treated. And we are distressed at many of the stories that come today of ill treatment of children. It's disturbing, isn't it, and an indictment, really, on our age, that each of our congregations needs to have someone who is designated the child protection person. We also question the wisdom of how those in authority deal with children. The recent campaign to prevent parents carrying out legitimate and right discipline. Children are approached by the advertisers, unfairly pushed into adulthood before they have the opportunity to enjoy being children. We notice here a wonderful thing, how the Lord treated the children. He took them in his arms, put his hands on them and blessed them, prayed for them and blessed them. He said, they are to be encouraged. They are to be welcomed. Look after them. Receive them. Do them good. Minister to them. We are thankful for those who give their time in teaching in Sabbath school, in leading in the CY, in the youth club, in the Holiday Bible Club. What you're doing, please remember, and please keep in mind what you're doing is of great and wonderful worth. Please see what you're doing in the light of this scripture. He took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. You are doing something that is precious and important in the Lord's sight. Be encouraged as you do it. And Jesus made here a remarkable statement about those children who had been brought to him that day. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The kingdom belongs to these children, and such as these are. How does the kingdom belong to children? Clearly, our Lord does not mean that all children are in a state of innocence for the first months of their lives, and it's only when they start to walk and talk and misbehave openly that they become sinners. David said, I am sinful from the moment of conception. John says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Every child has a sinful nature. So in what way then does the kingdom belong to those children? Well, it means, doesn't it, that the new birth can be granted to very young infants. That the Lord in his sovereignty and by his Spirit can give a new heart even to a little babe. Like John the Baptist, born again before he came to physical birth. Certainly it also means that children can be converted while they're still young. J.C. Ryle says, the Spirit may well be working in them just as in older people. The history of revivals actually contains many examples of sound childhood conversion. And there are young children, aren't there, with great spiritual insight. Out of the mouths of babes, you have ordained strength. The kingdom belongs to them. Children can be born again while very, very young, while infants. Children can be converted while very young. These children, whose parents in faith have brought them to me, to them and to such belongs the kingdom. They have a place and privilege which I bestow on them. The blessing of the kingdom is poured out on them. What a promise is heard by these parents that morning. What hope they're given as they bring up their children in the admonition of the Lord. What incentive they receive to teach their children about the Saviour and His grace. What encouragement they have to keep looking to God and seeking His richest blessing on these children. These parents who come in faith are encouraged, aren't they? Wouldn't they tell their children of the gracious way in which the Lord blessed them? He loved you so much that He put you into a home where you would learn of Him. And He took the children in His arms, put His hands on them, and blessed them. Although the time which Jesus spent on earth was precious, the exact number of His days on earth was determined before He came into the world, still He had time which He gave to children. They are the objects of His love and mercy. How do we see the children? We are thankful for all of them. All in the family circle, all in the neighbourhood, all within the church. Do we pray regularly for them? Do we talk to them? Sounds simple, but isn't that a part of following the pattern of our Lord here? He took them up in His arms. Do the children know how much we value them? I want just to stop at the moment and speak to the children. I know you've been up at the front, but I want to speak to you from the pulpit this morning. I want you children all to know how much we love you and how glad we are that you're here. I want you to know that we try to do what we can for you. That's why there's a Sabbath school and a CY and a youth club. And that's why the leaflets are out this morning in the porch telling you about the camps. We love to see you. Your parents and others are doing exactly this morning what the people in this village did on that day long ago. They are bringing you to the Lord that He may bless you. They're bringing you to where He is worshipped. And they're bringing you to His throne of grace in prayer. And parents and members in this place have given a promise that they will pray for you and teach you about the Saviour. And also try to live in a way in front of you that will commend Him to you. You've been dedicated to Him. So children, you must put your trust in Him. And you must personally believe in Him. Jesus receives the children, not just the adults. The children should be brought, and the children must not be hindered. And the children are blessed. Finally, the children were speaking. Now, not of course that they were speaking with their own voices because they were too young. They hadn't learned to talk yet. But there is a writ. Our Lord is saying, look at these little children. and you will learn about how to receive the kingdom. These children illustrate how you receive the kingdom. And receiving the kingdom, remember, is another way of describing being saved, of entering into the blessings of salvation, of possessing eternal life. And the Lord says there is only one way to receive the kingdom. How is that? It's the way a little child receives what is given to him. And how does he do that? With simple, unquestioning, humble trust. With simple, unquestioning, humble trust. The kingdom can only be received by those who know they are helpless and small and of no claim to make, like a little child. The child had no standing. If it is to receive anything, it must be as a gift. Well, the same is true for us. We can only receive the kingdom, this salvation, when we receive it as a free gift. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God, like a little child, will never enter it. Jesus says, don't let pride close you out of the kingdom. Don't close yourself out by doubting it, by doubting the freeness of the call. Here is the kingdom of God. Here is eternal life. Here is salvation and all the blessings of it. Here it is. Receive it like a child. Reach out the empty hand of faith and receive this precious and marvelous gift. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Come with an empty hand, with a humble, quiet trust, and receive this marvelous and precious gift. Amen.